Our scripture readings today are from selected verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, 10 through 14, and 16 through 18, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. And from the book of Matthew, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
And let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all our minds, and the meditations of all our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. You call us by name. We are yours. So may all we do and say bring honor to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve, hating the Whos, staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming. I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow, he knew, all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, Oh, the noise. That's one thing he hated. The noise. Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to a feast. And they'd feast. And they'd feast. And they'd feast. They would feast on who pudding and rare who roast beast, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the whos would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this who Christmasing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea. An awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. The story continues as the Grinch puts his wonderful, awful idea to work. He dresses up like Santa Claus. He dresses up his poor, unwitting dog like a reindeer. He grabs a bunch of empty bags, climbs onto a rickety old sleigh, and heads down to Whoville. While all the Whos are sleeping, the Grinch breaks into each home and steals not only every Christmas gift, but also every Christmas decoration, and every item of food waiting to be prepared for the coming Christmas feast. With all of their Christmas stuff stolen and gone, the Grinch assumes the Whos in Whoville will be so devastatingly sad that they won't even consider any sort of celebration. So he pushes his sleigh full of stuff up a mountain, preparing to send it crashing down to the valley below. So now, back to the actual book. 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. "Poo-poo to the Whos," he was Grinchishly humming. "They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two, then the Whos down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo." "That's a noise," grinned the Grinch, "that I simply must hear." So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low. Then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing. Without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came, somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. Now, it's possible some of you worshiping with us today may find it a bit strange that on this, the last weekend in May, we have somehow found ourselves at the end of December with a bit of a Christmas celebration. And of course, this particular weekend in May is not just any weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. Though I think of him more often than on Memorial Day weekend, every year on this weekend, Army Staff Sergeant Rob Rolfing is very present on my mind and heart. I often jokingly refer to Rob as the first boy who ever tried to kiss me. Our parents, our very good friends, have been for years, and he and I were in the same class in school, so we kind of grew up together. I wouldn't say we were friends per se, and I remember being a bit scared as he chased me around our house trying to kiss me when we were about 6 years old. But my memories of Rob are fond ones. He was brilliant, and he went to an elite college out east to study astrophysics or some other very fancy-sounding scientific field. Then, in response to 9/11, he felt called to enlist in the Army, and he eventually became part of the Army Special Forces. On June 30th, 2007, Rob was killed during an operation in Baghdad. Rob is the only soldier I know personally who was killed in action while serving in our military. So he's the one I think of every Memorial Day weekend. The photos on the screen are from just over a year ago when the Global War on Terror Wall of Remembrance was here in Bismarck at the Events Center. My husband and I visited the exhibit, and I was grateful for the opportunity to find Rob's name on the wall. This being a somewhat somber weekend of memorial and reflection, yes, it may seem a bit strange to be using a Christmas story to help shape the message of the day. But first of all, in a sermon series utilizing Dr. Seuss stories, we could not leave out the Grinch. And in many ways, Memorial Day weekend is exactly the right weekend for us to utilize this particular Seuss story. Despite the way many of us celebrate over this three-day weekend, we know in our heart of hearts, Memorial Day weekend is about something much deeper, much more grand, something much more holy than going camping or grilling out with family and friends while perhaps enjoying an extra day off of work. Memorial Day weekend is first and foremost about remembering those who fully gave themselves generously and sacrificially in service to our country. And those of us who claim faith in Jesus Christ know in our heart of hearts that Christmas is about something much deeper, much more grand, something much more holy than presents and decorations and feasts. How the Grinch Stole Christmas is clearly a secular, non-religious Christmas story, but despite the fact that there is no mention of Jesus in it, its message is also a core part of the Christian Christmas story, a story that has very little to do with presents, decorations, and feasts. Despite it not being a religious Christmas story, the story of the Grinch relates to the Christian Christmas message because, at its core, the story of the Grinch is all about generosity. And generosity is the very heart of the Christmas message. Generosity of heart and life is at the core of Memorial Day weekend as we give thanks for members of our military who gave their lives while serving. And of course, generosity of heart and life is at the core of Christmas. Again, though it's not a religious Christmas story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas provides a wonderful illustration for us about the power of Christmas to expand our hearts in order that we might live more generously toward and for others. As Christians are sometimes asked every once in a while, I get asked what my favorite verse in the Bible is, or which verses I think sort of sum up the entire message of Scripture. And the verses I think sum up the entire message of the Bible are these verses here, verses 14 and 16 of John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The message of Christianity, as shared in the words of the Bible, is all right there. That God's Son was born and lived among us. As he lived among us, we were witnesses to God's glorious, abundant grace and truth. And the writer John wanted us to know that from this Word made flesh, we do not simply receive grace. No, we receive grace upon grace, abundant, generous grace. As we continue to explore our way through different Dr. Seuss stories in this current sermon series, we also continue to explore the ways life is messy and the ways in which the God we know in Jesus Christ enters into the mess with us, working to bring healing and redemption, working to bring grace upon grace into and out of the mess. This first part of John chapter 1 is sometimes referred to as the prologue for the Gospel of John. And it's a poem about who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through him. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. In Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible, God creates the world by speaking things into being. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God used words to create. Well, in John chapter 1, John tells us that Jesus has been with God since the very beginning, since the creation of the universe. That Jesus has been part of who God is since the beginning. That the God who used words to create made those words come to life in a new way when Jesus was born into this world that first Christmas. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh, and he came to live among us that he might bring grace upon grace into our messy lives. That through Jesus, we might experience a life of generosity within the mess. And throughout John's gospel, Jesus offers sign after sign of the kind of generosity we are invited to experience through Jesus, God's Word made flesh. In John chapter 2, Jesus goes to a wedding feast, and when the wine runs out, he turns a massive amount of ordinary water into a massive amount of extraordinary wine. In John 4, Jesus sets aside cultural rules about gender and ethnicity to talk with and to bless a woman from Samaria, someone those cultural rules should have prevented him from talking with. In chapter 5 of John's gospel, Jesus heals a man who was paralyzed, and the healing happened on the Sabbath, when religious rules would have dictated that no one do any work, even the work of healing. But Jesus, again, set aside the rules in order to offer grace. In John 6, Jesus feeds a crowd of over 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and after everyone had their fill, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. In chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who had been born blind, and in chapter 11, Jesus raises a man from the dead. Grace upon grace. Abundant generosity of heart and life. In John's gospel, we meet a Jesus who enters into the mess of life and brings to the mess grace upon grace. Jesus enters into the mess of life and offers abundant generosity, inviting us to grow in our own generosity. Now, generosity is kind of a tricky concept. So often in and out of the church, when we talk about generosity, we mean to imply monetary generosity, generosity with our financial resources. In the church, you might hear us talk about tithing, giving 10% of our household income back to God in thanksgiving for all God gives us. We talk about tithing or working toward a tithe. And financial generosity is extremely important, but generosity is more all-encompassing than that. In addition to the ways we are invited to be generous with our money, God also desires for us to be generous with our time, our talent, and in our attitude toward others. Again, the signs of generosity Jesus demonstrated in John's gospel included miracles like turning abundant ordinary water into abundant extraordinary wine. But he also demonstrated generosity by talking with people he should not have been talking with, according to cultural rules in place at the time. In a world with ever-increasing political and religious polarization, a world where political agreement seems more important than anything else, in this world, people of Christian faith have an opportunity, like Jesus himself did, to demonstrate a different way of thinking and living. Instead of judgment and political entrenchment, we have the opportunity to demonstrate attitudes of generosity toward others. In so many ways, it seems our society is chock full of Grinches whose hearts are at least two sizes too small. And how awful it must have been for the Grinch to have such a teeny tiny heart, right? Almost entirely alone up in that cave, looking down over Whoville with judgment, bitterness, and contempt. I don't know about you, but when I read How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Grinch, at least at first, is not the character I want to be like. I'd much rather be like the Who's in Whoville, who managed to sing a joyful song even after all of their Christmas stuff has been stolen. For it's only through that joyful singing, it's only through witnessing that generous-hearted attitude that the Grinch's own heart begins to grow. Of course, he had to stand in the cold snow, festering and stewing about it for several hours before his attitude began to shift. But shift, it did. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. The Grinch could not, in fact, steal Christmas. And when he finally let himself receive the song of the Who's, He realized life was so much better when joining in the joy. Life was so much richer with a big heart, a generous heart. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So where might God be inviting us to receive some much needed grace upon grace? How might God be inviting our hearts to grow a size or two? This Memorial Day weekend, how might God be inviting each of us to set aside our inner Grinch in order that we might experience a little Christmas? How might God be inviting each of us to experience generosity in the midst of life's mess? Jesus Christ, God's Word made flesh, came to us that first Christmas 2,000 years ago in order that we might receive God's abundant generosity, that we might receive not just grace, but grace upon grace. Friends, the invitation to receive that grace upon grace is always open, and so is the invitation to share it. Let us pray. Holy One, for your Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, we are so thankful. Through him you offer us grace upon grace, and through him you invite us into your very heart, your heart of generosity. Where our hearts are two sizes too small, shower us with your grace that our hearts might expand. Help us to join with you year round in the joyous Christmas song. And as we receive your grace, may we offer it to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.